Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with my good friend and colleague, Dr. John Townsend, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. We're glad you're with us here today on New Life Live.
I really appreciate the advice you guys give people. It's from a biblical perspective, and just listening has really helped me in some way.
One of my sisters began to have an affair with my husband.
Really?
You're a mom, and you're afraid of your mom?
Yeah.
Does she breathe fire?
Well, yeah.
See, love's a decision because, when Jesus tells us in John 14, new commandment I give you to love each other. And love is more than just a feeling. There's a decision. There's a choice in that.
Whoa. Can we go into a different conversation here?
I reckon.
At a later time in life, when the child's 22, closeness can end up being toxic.
You can't go to therapy and not feel.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and joining me in the studio there in Laguna Beach, Dr. John Townsend. Hey, John.
Hey, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm broadcasting here from the Broadcast Center in Anderson University in Anderson, Indiana. WQME is the station, and really glad to be here. John, got a question for you. When a person ends up victimized over and over again, sometimes you look at it and you say, wow, there's some kind of pattern there. There's some kind of, this is just horrible. What is that all about, and how could we help a person like that?
You mean victimized in a what kind of setting, like a relationship?
Well,
maybe
they started out being a victim of child abuse, and then they're a victim of the financial deal that doesn't go through, victim of ending up in a job situation that's horrible, marriage where the person's horrible or leaves them, and it just seems like their whole life they become victimized in every situation or almost every situation that they get in.
Well, it depends on how they end up, Steve, out of the oven. In other words, you take a guy like Job in the Bible, and lots of really bad things happened to him that weren't his fault.
Yeah.
And so that would be some kind of victimization where, tough stuff happens. Now, a person like that who comes out and says, look, this was horrible, and my bell's ringing here, and what do? They need things like love and support, and I'll be with you in community, and they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are those people who come out of the oven really as what you call as having a victim identity.
Mm-hmm.
And that causes a problem because that brings on more victimization.
Yeah.
And the three things that cause victim identity are signs of victim identity are: one is a sense of helplessness, I don't have choices. One is a sense of aloneness, there's nobody entering my world. And another is a sense of moral superiority. I'm better than those who do things to me. I don't have darkness in myself and struggles and those kind of things. And you have to help a person with that triangle. To say, we'll help you, but we're going to help you have choices so you feel power. We're going to help you have connections so people really understand you. And also, we're going to help you look at your own part in whatever happens in life and help you to own the choices that weren't great choices.
Hmm.
That solves the identity problem.
It's pretty complex. It's not just a matter of a person being lazy.
Oh, my goodness. No.
I'm an example of a person being lazy, but
you're the hardest working guy in Christian media, buddy.
You know what? When I turned a certain age, it kind of flipped on me there. But anyway, if you find yourself as a repeated victim, John, what do you do? Is it just get into a counseling situation with somebody,
or you need to find people who will bring out the best in you.
Mm.
People who will say, you can make choices. I'll support your hard choices. I'm not going to leave you alone. That creates a structure in them of empowerment.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we'll take a break. We'll come back and go right to the phones. And when I say right to the phones, I mean right to the phones. No questions asked. Hey, this Friday, we're going to do a Focus Friday program on betrayal. Oh, boy. I can't wait because I've been there, done that. And then also, if you have not signed up for the Friday Night Live at Faith Community Church in West Covina, it's 7 to 10. It's going to be great.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterman here with Dr. John Townsend, and let's go over here and talk with Jim from Chicago, Illinois. WYLL is the station. Hello there, Jim.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Great.
Good.
You're on with John Townsend and Steve Arterburn. We're glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm always listening to you guys. I'm used to listening to three guests. You guys only have two, just you and John today.
Yeah, Jill got sick. Jill got sick.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not even sure if I should be asking a question, because before you went to the commercial break, you said we're going to go right to the phones, no questions asked. So does that mean no questions asked for me, or?
No, we just meant we weren't going to mess around.
Yeah, I know. I got it.
We're sort of in the get it done mode, okay?
Yeah.
We're going to get it done with you, Jim.
So basically, my question is, I've been contemplating bankruptcy for maybe the last 4 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And haven't quite pulled the trigger on it yet, just because I obviously it's one of those situations where you don't know whether or not it's the right thing to do. But in my particular circumstance, it seems like it would, as crazy as it sounds, it would sound financially sound to do it, which is kind of the opposite of the actual bankruptcy in itself. Just because at this point in time, with the with my credit card debt being as high as it is, and interest rates, being as high as they are as well, I'm finding myself, on a good budget now, but it's like all the money that I'm basically making is going towards my bills with nothing left to save. And not only just going to the bills, but it's only going to the interest in part, mostly. So I'm not really seeing any of that, principal balance come down.
Mm-hmm.
So at this rate, I'm looking at a good, 10 years, even if I'm on a really strict budget plan, and the reason being is because my income is not, is not supporting the amount that I owe. As far as a little backstory, just coming out of divorce a few years ago, a lot of that debt was in relation to that, just a lot of credit card debt that we had built up during the years that we were married, and after the divorce, we kind of split it down a little for the most part, and it just seemed like it was a little more than I could handle.
Okay.
So I did go online, I did see some scripture, and I'm not really good at reciting scripture, so I can't remember exactly where I saw it, but as far as, what Jesus mentions about, giving back, the people, as far as the debtors that owe the, society or whatnot, they to pay them back after 7 years or something like that.
Yeah, the Old Testament was called the Jubilee.
Right, so I don't know what you guys would be able to offer as far as any advice or any kind of scriptural backing to that, because it kind of weighs hard on me when I make decisions like this, so I don't want it to be the wrong decision and have it, haunt me for, years to come.
Yeah. John, you have a thought on a biblical basis for bankruptcy?
Well, you did reference the Old Testament Israel system, Jim, which was after every 7 years, debts got forgiven. So people start all over again. It was sort of a way to set that up and so that people had another start. But it really wasn't as much for credit card debt. Well, there wasn't credit card then, but it wasn't so much for the intent wasn't so much for an overspending problem as much as for just kind of like hard times. So here's what I would think of. First, have you seen a financial professional?
I've went to see a couple bankruptcy attorneys, and you know they both mentioned that I would be a prime candidate for bankruptcy.
Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you meant somebody that can actually help to manage
like Ronald Blue's organization or Crown Ministries or you know Larry Burkett's group and all these guys who have biblical foundations. They've done the research, so you don't have to do that. And they have all sorts of strategies that maybe you haven't thought of that the bankruptcy lawyers might not be aware of and not tell you. So I would start with an expert. And then I think my thought on this would be if the worst possible case is that there's no way that you can do anything but live simply for 10 years to dig yourself out and there's nothing else you can do. And I kind of doubt that because there's always good ideas. I would probably counsel you to stay with it and do it the hard way because you want to avoid bankruptcy at all costs. Sometimes it is an answer, but it's an answer for a crisis. And I would say, don't do it if you don't have to. Steve?
Well, I think if let's just say it was different, and he only made half of the amount of money that he was bringing in, that he needed to pay his debts, even the minimum payments. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a bankruptcy where you file bankruptcy and you walk away from your debts. There's another kind of bankruptcy where you have a full accounting, and of course the court will, of all the money you owe. You file bankruptcy and it gets the creditors off of your back and it allows you to pay what you can pay for as long as you need to pay. In other words, it might be 30 years that it's going to take you if you continue to earn the same amount of money, but at least you're making an effort to pay it versus going the hole deeper and deeper and all of that. So I do think there's an option for bankruptcy for people that really get in big trouble. But it doesn't have to be, I'm going to file bankruptcy and no longer feel responsible for the debts that I've essentially run up. There's no biblical basis for doing anything easy.
That's probably the best way to say it.
Yeah.
So hope that helps, Jim.
Well, that does help. What you're saying makes sense, too, because I had actually asked the attorney as well about that, about maybe paying a portion of it back.
But what did the attorney say?
The attorney said if you're going to do it, if you're going to do that, it's still going to be a negative on your credit. It's going to take just as long to, dig yourself out of that hole. If you're going to do it, if you're going to file for bankruptcy. That's a form of a bankruptcy as well, Chapter 11. Chapter 7 is doing it the entire amount. The courts allow it. They said if it's going to be done, you want to do it right, which sounds crazy because bankruptcy doesn't sound right to begin with. But, but I understood what they were trying to say. If you're going to do bankruptcy, do it right and get it done. Do it, get it washed away completely. For me, it would be morally something that I would want to pay back just so I can feel good about not paying any of it back.
Yeah, you're not trying to shortcut things. You're just trying to solve a problem.
Right, but they still charge the same amount, the attorneys, for whether you do a Chapter 7 or 11, so that's why they want you to get the most of your money at that point in time, and just wash it clean. I was just concerned about it. And a lot of people that I've talked to, they said that their credit comes back to life after a couple of years. I just don't know if that's the case, though, or if it just is a...
Again, let me just say this. You can do a Chapter 7 and still pay people back.
Oh, you can. Okay.
Well, I'm just saying you can have a record of all the people that their debt was canceled because of Chapter 7. And if you owe somebody $100 and that Chapter 7 totally wipes it out, well, you can still decide I'm going to pay that person back as I have the money, and I'm going to pay something on it every day.
Right. Yeah, that sounds pretty good too.
Or every month.
That would be something that I would want to do for sure, but yeah. I don't know how many people actually go ahead and do that.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sure that they, you know, once they get that money freed up, they're, you know, they're looking to spend it somewhere else. Whereas I learned my lesson from all this, and like I said, a lot of it was from my marriage, so it was an equal amount of spending between my ex-wife and I. So, you know, I'm at the point now where all my credit cards are maxed, so I can't really spend to begin with, and nobody's giving me any additional credit because I've already got increased lines. So it kind of just forced me into just setting up a budget for myself, and, you know, but I still need to make a decision because I could be using that extra money I could be saving that extra money that's going towards the interest as well.
Yeah, you can't get away from the obligation, like Steve said, to do it the hard way. When we owe money, we're supposed to pay back money.
Yeah.
And whatever strategy you can do when we owe money, I mean, that's sort of the way of life. So go see the professionals.
All right. I'm glad you called. Man, it's tough. I just know what he's facing there. That's just... got to be very, very, very tough.
You know, that's also when the church really is supposed to show up, you know, and help people with, you know, what they can't afford. And that's why, like in my church, they have meetings for people who are, you know, looking for jobs and having money problems and coming up with solutions and hands-on help and meals. I mean, we're supposed to kind of help out with people like that.
Yeah. All right. 1-800-229-3000. That's the phone number to call if you need some help. We really do want to help you. If you need some help after the program is over, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's talk to Debbie from Cincinnati, Ohio. WCVX is the station. Hi, Debbie.
Hi. I'm on my cell phone. I hope that doesn't cause any problems.
Me too.
Actually, Debbie, I think kind of most of the people call us on cell phones these days.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Well, my problem, I'll state the facts, and you probably need a lot of info from there. You can just ask me what you need. My grandmother just died, and I'm 43 years old, and my grandmother just died, I'm 42, and my grandmother just died in June 18th of this year, and she left me her house, not necessarily her house free and clear, but she said I could live there. With my family, my son, I'm a single mom. I have a 16-year-old and a 9-year-old. And she said I could live there until my 9-year-old was 19. Actually, 22. 18 or 22. It's been changed twice. So the latter was 22 years old.
You mean on the will? It's stipulated in the will?
I'm sorry, what?
That your son can stay there until he's 19 or 22 has been stipulated in the will?
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh.
It's actually a trust now.
Okay. Yeah, what a great gift, free rent.
Yes.
Okay.
However, I do have a home.
Yeah.
A home that she bought me.
Yeah.
And I, for reasons, I guess sentimental reasons, I'm considering moving into her home because it's a family home my grandfather built.
Right. Okay.
And I just have been agonizing over making this decision. And I feel like I'm making myself sick over it, and I'm starting to get depressed because I can't make a decision. It's not clear to me which path to choose.
Do you normally have a hard time making decisions, Debbie, like life decisions?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, sort of obsess on them and see both sides and go back and forth and can't land on something?
Yeah, I kind of weigh too many options, all options.
Get overwhelmed.
Overthink it, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, What is the big dilemma here of moving out of the house that you have, that she gave you, renting that out, and then moving into the house that has some sentimental value to you?
I think, am I going to make the right decision for my family?
Something that would be wrong with moving into the house for your family? How would that be wrong for your family to move into that house?
It's a 50-year-old home, and it needs a lot of work. I'm kind of weary of how much work it's going to need. I know I've overthought it. I know exactly what it needs, but I just
So the only reason for moving into Grandma's house is sentimental?
Yeah, well, sentimental. It's a little bit larger than my home, it's a ranch style where my home's three floors, and it just makes it really hard to take care of that.
What about the kids? Like, how about their school, friends, life? That's a big deal.
I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
Well, is it 1,000 miles away from their school and their friends? Is it next door to?
No. It's not even a mile away from me.
Okay, so their life wouldn't be disrupted.
No, not at all.
All right. Steve and I are going to talk about this with you, but the thing to remember, Debbie, is we want to also give you a way to think about problems from now on. You're going to have 1,000 other big decisions to make.
Yes, that's right.
So we got to help you. Got to help you like learn how to fish instead of just throw your fish.
Okay, hold on. We'll get back here right after this. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. That's the number people call when they want to be on the air, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll take a break. We'll come right back, and maybe you're wondering about a big decision. Maybe we can help you figure out a process that'll work in every decision.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Hey, we're back. Okay, so John, you wanted to help Debbie with decision-making.
Yeah, first off, Debbie, these kind of situations, you've got to basically sit down and draw up your, you know, wins and losses, you know, like positives and negatives. That's how people make decisions. I wrote a book called Now What Do I Do? And it's a problem-solving book, which gives you a whole system of whether it's a financial thing or a spiritual thing or a relational thing or whatever. That's how life involves problems, and you need to think about it. But one of the first things to do is to put the debits and credits up there. And as you weigh those out, you've told us a few. You know, I have in my mind what I think you should do, but I wanted you to work through it first. So,
okay, well, I have make lists if it helps, and it doesn't seem to help me. But financially, it's only a difference of $200 more if I move into her home.
Why is it more when you mean, are you paying?
What's that?
I thought it was a freebie.
Well, as far as the expenses to actually live there, her taxes are higher than mine.
Are you planning on renting out your home? Are you planning on renting out your home?
I was going to try to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I can't sell it, I was going to try to rent it, but okay. I'd like to sell it.
Well, it sounds like that would make up for that $200 a month.
Right.
And how bad, how much money would you have to put into fixing it up?
Probably, I'd say at least 10 grand to start, maybe to do the things I want to do, at least 20. And again, I'm putting money in to fix it up to live there, but knowing that that I'll be leaving, you know, in 10 years. But at 10 years, if I can't purchase the home, then it's split between me and my uncle. I only have to come up with half of the value of the home if I want to buy it.
It reverts to, instead of you using it, it reverts to you and your uncle half own it.
Yes.
50-50.
Correct. Yes.
Well, that means you would get a mortgage for half the value of the home.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
So financially, I mean, it sounds like you're kind of, if I'm getting this right, if you sell the home you've got and you like both houses, and this one a little bit better if you put some money into it, do you have the money to put into it? Do you have the $10,000 or $20,000 you need? Or would it be a struggle?
No, I have the money, to put into it.
So on a dollars and cents level, if I'm hearing you right, you're ahead.
And just since we're becoming these big financial advisors here for you, it seems to me that this maybe isn't the best time to sell a home. And that moving into her home and renting out yours might be better and provide you with more short-term money versus it sits on the market for a year and you don't sell it for what it's worth. Just a thought.
That's where I was ending up. So Debbie, we're not telling you what to do because, you know, you've got to make a big decision, but that's where I'm leaning to. Now,
exactly.
Now let me drop down. Now, what if this was a new car or a stove or, like, whether you should buy brown eggs or white eggs? Do you struggle with that kind of stuff?
Not the little stuff. But it's, I don't know. I mean, I struggle sometimes with buying clothing or things like that, but I can usually make the decision. It's pretty little, but it's, like, for instance, going back to school, I've struggled with that. Do I want to put the money into getting an education that I'm not sure I can get a job in? That kind of stuff. I've been struggling with that for years. I finally have made that decision, though. I've decided to go back.
Do you tend to be sort of perfectionistic?
Probably. It was pointed out to me that I was, and then after they said that, it made sense. Yeah.
Well,
I guess I have a great fear of failure.
Right.
It's probably the...
They're hand in hand. Let me tell you the quick and dirty on how to work that through.
Okay.
Fail.
Fail? You make it sound so easy.
I didn't say it was easy. I said it was quick and dirty. It's not easy. But obsessional perfectionists are people who are basically, part of their brain is still functioning according to the law of Moses. They're trying to do it all right and not make mistakes and, like, earn love, and they're performance-based and all this, and you got to get them out of the law of Moses into the life of grace. And I'm not saying lose everything and, you know, throw all your assets away or whatever, but you've got to start allowing yourself to make decisions that are kind of in the good enough range and take some risk and fail in some small ways. And then that gives you a brain that helps to make the big decisions better. I don't know anybody who made good financial large-scale decisions who doesn't have a history of failure. So as they say in leadership circles, movement's everything. So you got to move, make decisions instead of, like, doing the research and, you know, prepare.
Mm-hmm.
Just start making some little failures and get up and, you know, wipe the dust off and then move ahead again. It'll really help you with these larger decisions. And then we'll send you a book, Now What Do I Do as well.
Okay. I'm glad you called, Debbie.
Steve and I are experts in failure. We failed a lot, haven't we, Steve?
Man, oh, man. I tell you, if I was trying to avoid all failure, I still wouldn't have made a decision.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. Taking a break. Come back for the second half of New Life Live. You know, if you live in Southern California, on October the 7th, it's Friday Night Live at Faith Community Church in West Covina. Are you going to that, John?
I'm flying in for that.
John's going to be there. I'm going to be there. I think Sherry and I don't know who else is going to be there, but we're going to have a lot of fun and do a radio program or two also. So come join us. And then the Friday, we've got the Friday Focus on Betrayal. And that'll be a great, great time. I'm going to be preaching at Heartland October the 2nd. Don't know what I'm preaching about, but I'll figure that out between now and then, hopefully.
That's what I mean. No fear of failure here. This guy's great.
Yeah. Boy, do I ever fail at speaking sometimes. You know, you get the right message for the wrong people or the wrong message for the right people. Happens all the time.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Artiman here with Dr. John Townsend. And your phone calls here. Let's talk with Axel from St. Petersburg, Florida. She listens on the internet. Hello, Axel.
Hello, how are you?
Great. How's it going?
Oh, it's going okay.
Okay.
But not great. That's why I'm calling you guys.
All right. What's going on?
Okay. Okay, I have a situation that I'm in. I have a daughter that figure skates, and she is 10 years old. And I was a professional figure skater myself. I teach her, and I've been teaching her for 5 years.
Is she good?
She's got wonderful ability. I think she's got great ability.
Great.
She's not reaching her potential. Other kids that I've had have gotten them much further than, mm-hmm. and I don't expect of her where I've gotten these other kids. I've gotten some kids to nationals, and I don't expect that of her because I don't really think that's her journey and her dream.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm very careful of that.
Good for you, by the way.
Pardon?
Good for you, by the way. That's a good parent.
Yeah. Yeah, I make sure that's in my mind and aware of that.
Now what's the dilemma that we never dreamed would come out of this?
Okay. I have her. I have had her with other instructors, and I have to see progression. I expect. She should expect of herself no matter what she does in life. I have her with other instructors for different disciplines. My thing is jumps is my strength and spins. Where I'm at, there's nobody that can teach them like I can. And so I won't put her with anybody else. Now, if there were somebody else, I would definitely, you know, arrange that. So this has been going on, and she shuts down when we're on lesson, and, you know, there's a lot of negativity. She doesn't backtalk me. I had her in Tampa Bay this summer.
Hey, Axel. Axel, let me interrupt for a second. How emotionally attached are you to her?
I think very emotionally attached to her.
And is she emotionally attached to you? Do you guys feel a lot of love and connection between each other?
Yes. There needs to be more, but yes.
Yeah, it feels like the relationship is a tad overbalanced on the task doing coaching end of life, and I don't feel a lot of mother-daughter juice from you guys.
On the ice, definitely not.
No, I didn't mean on the ice. I'm just asking in life.
Well, I think so.
Okay, just asking.
I think so, I think so. So I had recently said to her that, I don't want to teach you anymore because I don't want it to ruin our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to teach her. And I said, what about tennis lessons? So I went to sign her up for tennis lessons. And she pulled her dad aside, my husband, and said, but I want to skate. And I want Mom to be my coach because she's had other instructors. But I just feel she's shutting down with me. And so I said, why don't you do some tennis lessons?
Hold it. Let's go back to your daughter's desire. She's in conflict with you. On one hand, one part of her says, Mom's a great skating coach, and I like skating. So there's a desire on that end that we have to listen to. And on the other end is, it messes up our relationship and we don't get along. So don't move straight to tennis yet.
Okay.
There's a conversation and a process with your daughter, Axel, where you guys can have some ground rules about then how do we not get in those, whatever they are, power struggles or alienation struggles and work it out. I mean, I would go with her desire here.
Now, let a people pleaser throw in a different angle here, okay?
Okay.
I'm just wondering if you could coach your daughter in a different way, that you could get yourself to a place to say, this is my daughter, and it's different when I criticize my daughter about form or technique than when I criticize another student that is not my daughter. And so I'm going to experiment with a positive, motivational style of coaching that really doesn't include criticism. And if that means that she progresses at one-fifth the rate that others do, but she and I have a fun time when we're out there together working, then it's a home run for us.
Yeah, I use video because I wanted to get another source besides myself to show her,
Well, hold it. Let's go to what Steve was saying there, Axel. Like if your daughter were on the air with us right now, we'll call her Beth, and we said, okay, what's the problem with you and Mom? Where do things get in trouble? What would your daughter tell us?
I think she would tell you that she's mean.
Mom's mean.
Yes.
Okay, why would she say that? What do you do that sounds mean to her?
Well, I guess what I try to teach her is when we go to the office, work, your job someday, skating, school, whatever, our marriage, we wake up every day and we're to fix mistakes or repeat mistakes. And that's what I teach. So I said it's a choice. It's an everyday choice to fix or repeat mistakes. And all I want to see is a steady pace of progression, no matter what she does. I said you don't have to be a champion.
Hey Axel, you're spending more time not answering our question and mm-hmm. telling us why you're a good parent than you are answering our question.
Okay, I said that she would say that I'm mean.
Yeah, and we said okay, mm-hmm. why would she say that? And you start telling us what a good parent you are. So you don't have to do this. We know that you're a good parent, but what does she experience that's mean in her head? Get in her world.
My tone. If you take lessons, you have to clean up mistakes.
Right.
Or do you just go out and do it incorrectly every day?
Axel, you did it again. I'm starting to feel like your daughter.
I'm not sure what I'm doing.
Well, it feels like when you're talking to me, and I'm thinking about, let's call her Beth, that if I want to say, this kind of, that tone hurts my feelings, or can you back it off, that you're going to immediately say, well, I have to do this because, you know, you've got to perform and I've got to get these lessons. I'm just trying to show you the pattern. And you get really kind of like defensive about why you're doing is right. And I don't feel like you're really listening to her. Now, you do have to be the coach. I like it that you're a coach, and coaches have to say hard things. But I think you need to sit down with Beth and say, I need to know what tones I use so that I can be firm with you when I need to be, but ones that aren't too firm. And then Beth's got a little buy-in to the system. Now, if Beth says, I don't want you telling me what to do, I don't want to take any rules from her, then you go, okay, it's tennis, because you got to have rules.
That's right.
But if it's tone, you can change that tone, Axel, by listening to the girl and kind of going, all right, tell me how that sounded again. So don't spend your time on why this is right and why mom's doing this right. Spend your time on engaging with her, and you'll probably have a way that she'll go, okay, yeah, I can take that kind of structure from mom.
And if repeated mistakes produces anger in you, you're probably the wrong coach.
But I don't think you're an angry person.
Well, but I'm sensing that it might go to the thing where her daughter doesn't go to the next level. She does repeat the mistake. She hasn't listened to yesterday's lesson. So now I'm angry with her. And I'm going to be angry with her every day. And that's going to destroy your relationship with her, the anger.
Mm. What do I do if she's not improving and I do change my tone and she doesn't progress?
Honey,
what do we do?
I want you to know how much I love you. And I am going to produce in you a figure skater that for the rest of your life, you will love figure skating. I don't know that we're going to be able to compete and all that because it's a mother-daughter thing, but we're going to have some fun. And if it gets to a level where we can compete, let's do it. But other than that, let's just teach you how to have the most fun on the ice with the most skills that you will carry with you for the rest of your life.
There you go.
I totally agree. If she doesn't develop, that's, do I let her just go out there and just do it wrong?
Yep. If she loves it, if she loves it,
then she stays at that certain level. Yeah.
You know, my daughter doesn't have the aggressive side of soccer that is preferred. And I could, every game, say to her, you weren't aggressive enough. Well, but that was her personality and her style of play. I decided to encourage her and point out the thing, because she wasn't going to change that, and she hasn't changed it to this day, even though she's in college soccer. Well, it's kind of starting to change. Now, you have to adjust and adapt based on the response to your coaching.
I'm going to send Raising Great Kids, Axel, because I think you really are paying attention to kids.
Mm-hmm. I have that.
Okay, look at the one on competency, that chapter on competency and work ethic, and there's the balance in there.
And thank you for asking these questions.
Great question.
And wanting the relationship to be a good one. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend. Our final call is going to be with Katie here in Washington, D.C., listening on WAVA. Hello, Katie.
Hi, Steve. Hi, John.
Hi, Katie.
I'm really enjoying your fan page, John. I really appreciate it. I was the one that we were both supposed to get the outline for your new book that this other lady was using for her small group.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for that.
I didn't ever get it. Did you get it?
Well, thank you for the post. We're working on that right now. We're trying to get the techno piece of that, but we do want to get the outline. The book is Beyond Boundaries and How to Learn How to Trust if You've Been Hurt in a Relationship, and you're a good poster. So thank you, Katie.
Oh, no problem. My question was about my son.
Okay.
And he's 19. And when he was young, I did not have the tools to be, well, I had a raging problem, and I don't think I was, I was not able to contain him as a young baby and as a young man, and I'm healing now, and I feel.
Now, do you mean containing in the, like taking his negative feelings and listening empathetically and like listening to the hard stuff and containing that, or do you mean more structure kind of containing, like helping with boundaries? There's two kinds of containings.
Containing his emotions.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
He,
gotcha.
Now, as a 19-year-old, I believe he still struggles with lying, and he's not 100% responsible. But so my. My question is, how do I stop beating myself up? Because I think that my inability to contain him when he was younger is partly the reason why he's not respecting us and listening to us as a 19-year-old.
Hey, did you do the best you could at the time, the best you knew how, or did you do the worst that you knew how? You knew how to do really great, perfect parenting, but you went the opposite way. I don't care if that's the thing to do. I'm doing the opposite. Or did you do the thing that you knew all you knew you did, and it was the best you could do at the time with what you knew? You get what I'm going for here?
Yes, and I know that's what I hear all the time in my heart from the Lord, is that I've done the best that I could. I did not know how to do better. When I realized I was having anger issues, I got some help for myself, and I feel like I am in a healthier place right now than I've ever been in my life.
All right, Katie, I'm gonna make it worse.
What's that?
I'm gonna make it worse. Aren't you glad you called? People making things worse for you.
Good luck, John.
What if you didn't always do the best? I mean, I was lazy with my kids sometimes and too mean or too lax or whatever. I mean, I wasn't always my best at my best. What does a Christian do with sin and mistakes that they see the consequences for? What do we do?
We ask for forgiveness.
We ask for forgiveness. And what does the Lord do?
The Lord forgives us.
The Lord forgives us. And you know what else we do? It says in James that we not only ask for forgiveness from the Lord, it says in chapter 5, to confess our lacks and wants and sins to one another that we may be healed. And one of the things I find in people, Katie, is that they make a mistake as a parent or as a spouse or in a business or whatever, and they see bad consequences, like your son is struggling now, and in their mind, they're saying, I've got to fix this. And they go into the world of regrets and doing it differently. And what woulda, shoulda, coulda. And what they haven't done is they might have asked forgiveness from the Lord, but they haven't done the other piece the Bible says, which is to get with some people that love them and care about them and contain them, as you mentioned, and say, hi, I'm Katie, you're my small group. I'm really beating myself up for really screwing up with Jonathan. And your group looks at you in the eye and says, we know that you did make mistakes, but I don't hold it against you, and I love you, and I'll help you be a better parent to that 19-year-old Jonathan. And you begin to experience the power of the forgiveness of God through the body.
And Katie, this anger thing, I shared this the other day. You know, often we are angry at a past we cannot change, a present we can't control, and you can't control him, and a future we can't predict. And so we sit down with somebody and we say, I have a few control issues here, and I would like to experience this peace that God promises for us, and have that person walk you through a process of getting to this surrendered point, dealing with the reasons that you need to feel in control, and maybe that could provide you with some help for the anger.
Okay, I've got a great idea. The three of us, all three of us have a 19-year-old. I do, mm-hmm. Steve does, mm-hmm. and Katie does. Right, mm-hmm. right, Katie?
Right.
All right, we're now a small group of three 19-year-old kids, all right? Let's tell each other, I screwed up with my kids, and am I still okay with you? And let's experience forgiveness. Okay, I'll start first. Steve, Katie, I've screwed up with Benny, and I need to know if I'm okay with you guys.
You're okay with me, John.
Okay, you're okay with me.
All right, next.
Well, I kind of screwed up with Madeline a lot of times, and just want to know if you guys are okay with me.
You're okay with me, Steve.
You're okay with me, Steve.
Are you sure, Katie?
All right.
Yeah.
Whose turn is it now?
Okay, so it's my turn?
Yes.
And I really messed up with my son, and I feel really bad about the things that I said and did with him when he was younger.
Yep, you probably did, and you're okay with me.
Yeah, you're a lot like me and John, and you're sure okay with me.
But the thing is, I want to be okay with him.
That's a different issue. All we can do with a kid that's messed up and mad and alienated is to say, I'm really sorry, and anything I can do to help you with your life and apologize, I will, and I'll be a support. But leaving and cleaving, as the Bible teaches, is part of the process of letting them go, being a good person, offering opportunities, but we got to let them go.
And, you know, your God gave an assignment to your son. And that is overcome the deficiencies of his childhood.
Mm.
That's his job.
That's really good.
To end up with a great life, even though mom and dad didn't always do great things for me. There are no excuses. He can use you as an excuse the rest of his life. He can become St. Francis of Excusey. And he's got, but he eventually has to take responsibility, and that's his job. If he does his job, Katie, you will have done a good job on your part.
Just as, like, whoever caused you to be or helped you be a rageaholic when you were a little girl, you had to live past that yourself.
And
Steve's
look at
right.
You getting help.
And look at you getting help.
Yeah. All right. Glad you called. I'm going to send you Walking Into Walls, my latest book there. So hold on, and we'll get that to you. Oh, John, thanks for all your advice here. I think you and I may need to go into debt counseling and financial management, given, you know, some of the people that have called.
Plus, we're a small group now.
We are a small group. It's kind of weird, though, doing it on radio. I don't know. Maybe we can change the venue. I don't know. Anyway, we sure are glad that all of you joined us. We're just about out of time. You know, God loves you. He really does, and he forgives you. And I would imagine that there are a lot more people forgiving you than you know. And boy, I'll tell you, these kids, they've got to learn to forgive. Sometimes when we hold a grudge against somebody else, we're teaching our kids kind of how to hold a grudge against ourselves. When we show them forgiveness of others, it teaches them to forgive us. We'll see you next time right here on New Life Live. Glad you're with us. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.